going down.
Give it to them, give it to them.
Hello, welcome to the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report.
Rave edition.
This is Heather Hyman.
And Jack Inslee here.
We're thanking Heritage Foods USA for sponsoring today's program. We're pretty excited. We have a friend of Heritage is on the phone with us here today, Brady Lowe from the Taste Network of Atlanta. Brady, how are you today?
Great. How are you all?
Hey, Brady. How's it going?
Good. Very good.
Where are we speaking to you from today?
Out of my office in Atlanta.
All right. Well, I know that you are kind of a traveler all across the United States with what you do in regards to your tour. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Cochon 555 is?
Cochon 555. It's basically Cochon is pig in French, and 555 stands for five chefs, five pigs, five winemakers, and a friendly competition for a cause. The cause that we're promoting right now is heritage breed pigs and local farms. So basically what happens is I am charged with sourcing pigs all the way around the country for five chefs in each local city, and I basically provide each chef a whole pig a week before the event. They get a whole week to do whatever they want to it, show up on a Sunday afternoon, cook it for a few hundred people. We get a bunch of family-owned wineries involved. And it's pretty much a pork fest that has a really has a good deep a deeper meaning to it.
Do they all get the same pig, Brady? Same breed?
No. A perfect event for me is getting five different breeds from five different farms. So if I can source a Duroc, Tamworth, a Red Wattle, Old Spot, Mangalitsa, or a Berkshire. That would be a perfect event, is when you show as many breeds as possible. So the guest and the chefs get to either work with something new or get to taste something or be exposed to something they had no idea even existed.
Now, what is your background in food exactly? How did you come to create this Cochon 555?
My background has been in wine and cheese. So I started off with my company, Taste Network, in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was teaching people basically in kind of these rogue, private style tastings about how to pair wine and cheese. And the common thread was there was always someone very passionate about what they were making. Like the winemakers were very passionate about what they were putting in the bottles, small, family owned. The cheese makers were very passionate about what they were producing. And I was talking about how to pair them. Mm-hmm. So the evolution was, starting to do wine dinners, starting to do larger events, but there was always this element of pairing with Taste Network. And, at one point I was in the middle of an underground dining series called the Kudzu Supper Club, which was doing really well in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I noticed a real, real big niche for heritage pork and farmers who were raising these amazing products. They had a story, they were passionately tied to it, but they just didn't really have the chefs. The chefs didn't really have a connection to them, so I came in and started pairing them up.
Wow. All right. Well, before your first event ever took place, how long did it take for you to, start sorting out all these logistics and sourcing and arranging for the deliveries and finding the chefs and the location of the event?
I don't know. I mean, I think on the first event, it came together within a month. And we had the opportunity to, at the first event, we actually worked with Heritage Foods. And, it was a direct relationship and introduction to you, Heather and Patrick. And we had the opportunity to learn. We learned from you guys like a good starting point of how we can source pigs. And, I think that part of the logistics really became a big piece for us, being able to do it. And then each city now we've got it down to about 2 to 3 weeks that it takes us in time to really pull together an event,
And that makes sense. I mean, it takes, ordering the pig, getting it into the city, and then getting it to the actual location or where the chef is going to be cooking that animal.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, with these pigs, it's not a convenient product. I mean, you can't, like, call them and be like, I need a pig next week. Like, you need to schedule them, and there's slaughter times. There's people that are, like, busy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, if anyone knows what you mean, it's definitely me.
But, I mean, that's the thing that chefs aren't, like, geared for right now. They're not, like, sometimes they're like, oh, I need a pig, but I need it. I mean, they're not looking at, like, a month in advance.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's also why I kind of like that you call it a friendly competition, because it's not like something where, you know, on the Food Network you see everyone's using the same ingredients, or, you know, for Iron Chef or something like that. You kind of leave it up to their own devices. They have their own kitchens, their own sous chefs, their own ingredients, and you let them put their own spin on it.
Exactly. And all pigs are not created equal, you know, and I think you have to eliminate that competitive edge mm-hmm. from an event. And make it more of a cause and a reason why everyone's doing it. And it's going to be difficult. People are going to have, you know, they're going to have conflicts or they're going to have challenges. And I think it's, you know, the neat thing about Cochon is there is a pretty determined purpose that everyone can connect to. And, you know, that's local farms, that's heritage breed pigs, and it's great chefs. And people are very, very, you know, very... They're very good. They're very happy about it, and I think that's a great part.
Brady, I had a quick question. All this time you've spent with all these breeds, have you gotten to the point where you can really taste, not just tell the difference between them, but recognize the difference? Like, do you know right now what makes the Duroc taste different than the Berkshire?
I think they're all beautiful breeds. They all have their own personalities. They all have their own characteristics. I think visually is the strongest differentiation I can make. Fat caps, mm-hmm. plus, you know, intermuscular fat, like seeing the color of the meat. You can tell pretty well, like, how an animal was raised by just seeing it, you know, cut on a table.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess they cook differently, too.
Yeah, I think some pigs have, and I think that's kind of the what everyone's looking for right now. I think everyone's looking to see, like, you know, hey, this is the first time we've all had the ability to, like, cook a Red Wattle versus a Berkshire and versus a Tamworth, and everyone's trying to figure it out. So everyone's, like, on this learning curve together.
Mm-hmm.
But from a sense of me personally, like, last year we did these side-by-side tastings where we, in the VIP rooms at Cochon, we were sourcing 5 shoulders, all from different breeds, and just doing a very simple roast on them. And it was amazing that people could pick up the certain elements and certain characteristics, you know, certain type of oily, you know, certain kind of oils, certain kind of tannins, textures in meat, some were earthy, more fruity. So, but if you do it a side-by-side, just simple, you know, roast with salt and pepper, it's more, you can tell, but when you get it into a, you know, into a chef's hand and, like, a Cochon, and they're really putting a creative spin to it.
When they're adding some chilies or fish juices and things of that sort, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I mean, when you put a pig into an oven with a lobster in his mouth, you know, he may have a different purpose at the end, you know?
Yeah, well, I know you mentioned that you have you mentioned something about a VIP room. So this is you know, an event where people are judging. So explain to me exactly what you mean by the VIP, and then I guess who the rest of the judges are.
Well, when you walk into an event at Cochon 555, you're going to, you know, if you buy a VIP ticket, you're going to experience oysters. You're going to have cheese display of about 150 pounds of cheese. Like, we work with, like, Murray's. Sometimes we work with Fromaggio Kitchen. But, like, all these amazing cheesemongers around the country. We try to source some amazing oysters. We get a local brew. We get a mixologist in there. And then we have a couple of, like, reserve wines. And that's the VIP element. All the judges are invited. All the chefs are invited. It's this big meet and greet and kind of social atmosphere. And then from when you exit the VIP room, the whole crowd goes together onto the main floor. So the VIP happens for about 90 minutes beforehand and then enters the main event with everybody else. What happens with the judges is we have a very I guess, humbling opportunity to work with some really amazing people and who are advocates for this slow food community and really do a lot for heritage and heirloom species. So typically out of 20 judges per city, we try to get five farms, a couple wineries, some media people who are out there writing about it, authors, chefs, and we try to put them all into the room together. And then we just do this, 20 person sit down, and it's all super, it's all personal invites for me to come in and eat for the day. And the chefs all come in and present their 5 to 7 different dishes to the judges. So judges usually typically eat probably 25 or more plates.
So what is the criteria for judging for this entire event? Does the judges have a different criteria and percentage of the overall vote as does the rest of the invites?
Yeah, exactly. There's, the room is split in a 51-49% vote. 51% is the people's vote, and they're voting on the moment of the day. That is the entire floor. That's everyone who bought a ticket for VIP. That's all the people who bought general admission tickets. They're all voting on the same thing. Mm-hmm. The judges room, which is 20 people, they're voting on a percentile of 49%. That percentage is basically utilization, presentation, and flavor. And utilization's, what you see from head to toe. Presentation, not everybody is a public speaker, and some people speak through the plate.
Definitely.
And that offers them an opportunity to do some unique creativity. And then flavor, just overall best flavor. You're looking at somebody who really took the idea to balance out their offering to the judges. And if they score on a low 1 and a high 5, it's 1 through 5, and if you score a 5, 5, 5 in each category, then that's a score of 15, and that's your perfect score. And the judges will then announce, one winner on their ballot or their scorecard, and then 20 judges, all their equations and all the, consumer votes are put together, and we have somebody from MIT who gave us an equation, so it's tried and true and honest, and it shoots out a winner.
Awesome. How much does it cost for the general public?
General public is around 100 to 125.
Cool.
Depending on where you get your information from. And we have promo codes that go out. We have discounts for trade and industry and students. So it ranges. And VIP is usually about $40 or $50 more.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to hear about some of your favorite preparations, some more cities, and what's in the future for this tour.
Awesome.
Listening to the Heritage Farm Report Rave Edition. I'm Jack Inslee here with Heather from Heritage, Heather Hyman. And we're talking about a wonderful, wonderful event with Brady Lowe. Brady, what's the most successful event that you held? The, you know, the ultimate.
Ooh, that's a tough question. Have you guys ever, it's like asking a winemaker, like, what's your favorite wine? And you're like, well, they're all kind of children, and they all have their own personality. And I don't know, I think out of all the cities, I mean, it's an experience to come to New York City and to see it. So this year, between New York City and Napa, I think starting the tour off in Napa was really an amazing experience, and the caliber of chefs in New York City was right up there. Both had their own amazing elements. Both had perfect weather. Both had amazing views and an amazing crowd. So it's really tough. My first time in Napa was an amazing event. I mean, I got to meet Chris Cosentino, and some of his dishes were just something that I'll never forget.
Did he make an infamous blood sausage?
He had a blood sausage. he also had a couple other crazy things. Yeah, I mean, the thing that stuck out to me was his chili bones, and I thought that was amazing usage for,
What was that?
Chili bones? Huh. It was basically like, he had the Magnolita breed, and it's a very fatty, lard-type animal, so the yield on it is shorter on the meat side and heavier on the fat side. So he actually took all the bones and broke them up into, like, baseball-size servings, and he took them and kind of, like, steamed or boiled them in lemongrass, ginger, those kind of like really bright Pan-Asian, you know, aromatics. And then he took them and he came into the event and he just had them on a sheet tray. And I was like, it's just like big white gelatinous bones. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, oh, just wait, this is chili bones. He takes it, drops the whole thing in a fryer, puts in a bunch of more ginger and chilies. He puts in mint, cilantro, and fries it in a fry basket in a fryer, and that was one of the biggest profiles I've ever seen.
That does sound like pretty good usage right there. I must say, I mean, I've been a judge for the two New York events. The face bacon in this last most recent event, which was held a couple of weeks ago, was, I would say, some pretty good usage.
oh, my God.
Who was that? The Blue Hill? And the name of the chef is escaping me right now.
Oh, it's Adam Kay.
Yeah, that was very well done. And he was the winner, right?
He was the winner, and he did an amazing job. I mean, he's like the meat director at Blue Hill.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what a title, meat director.
Well, I mean, when you come out with, you know, a menu that has a diagram of a pig and explains what every dish and from what part of the animal it's coming from, that definitely gets you some points right there.
I think the funniest is when Tom Mylan, and I looked at one end of the table, and Tom Mylan and Joshua, they're like, yeah, well, this is what my menu would look like. And it was just like a picture of a pig, and it just had the arrow on it and said, eat.
Brady, were there any dishes that come to mind that were just like unbearable, uneatable, and just, you know, not good?
Again, another one to probably get me in trouble.
I was going to say.
Yeah, well, you don't have to name like, names.
Which event's your favorite and which was the worst?
How about a yes or no? Have there been dishes like that?
Yes. Okay. But the one very positive thing about it is as soon as I, you know, put it down and I'm like, what's going on here? Then I look at one of my colleagues and they're like enjoying it.
Totally.
So it really speaks to me like the regionality of people's palates. And I think that's a very important thing to remember is we're all very regionalized in what we appreciate and how we appreciate it. And I think that was one of the things that I kind of take away is, you know, kind of the perspective of not possibly liking something, but learning to like it. And someone who may be a little bit more advanced than me, you know?
Right, exactly. Now, do you have a lot of new-timers coming, people who just have never tasted rare breeds, heritage breeds, and they're having their minds blown? Is that something you see a lot? of?
In the consumer side or on the judge side or on both?
The consumer side, yeah. I guess the judges as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get, you know, pulled into this event with the faction that they just love pig. You know, I think they want to learn something new. With the judges, you know, I think just the responses that I get when I invite people sometimes they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not like the largest, you know, pork fanatic, or I don't do this. I'm like, but you do everything else around it, and you try to round out their experience, and they find it very rewarding. So I think, I mean, I get emails from people who have attended on the consumer side or just, they just think it's the most amazing event that they've ever gone to, and that they would love to, you know, come back or go to another city. I mean, last year we had people who had never had heritage breed pork go to, you know, fly to another city to go to the event again.
Wow. Well, that's some dedication right there.
Yeah, and like the first time we couldn't even figure out who they were.
Uh-huh.
And then they showed up at a third event. We're like,
wow.
We're like, you look familiar. But they would never announce that they were on, you know, they were kind of like following us around. That was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. You're turning into a rock band.
I know. The pork rock band.
Brady Lowe, rock star of the pork heritage breed movement. Awesome. what I was going to ask, I know in this last event you handed out a heritage pork breed guide.
Yep.
When did you start that? And, you know, what is the benefit do you see, you know, for bringing that to the table?
I think, you know, producing a field guide for heritage breed pigs, I think is something that, again, is another niche or another gap that was just missing. I mean, there's a conversation that needs to be taking place, and there was nothing out there that, I mean, I've been touring the country with Carolina, who does the event with me, and we've just been out there, and we've just never seen anything like it. But they have a field guide for birds, they have a field guide for turtles, you have a field for just about everything else out there. And then we saw the Monterey Bay, they had their really cool sustainable fish. And there was a click at some point, you know, and it's like there's something missing. And it's just the idea that, hey, here's what heritage breed pigs are, here's where you can find them, here are some very popular breeds that are out there and available right now. And here's some places where you can, you know, feel that you're going to get a good representation. And I think it was just the idea of, like, starting a conversation and to see where it happens. And I think that's where we are. I think there's a lot of good that can come out of it. We printed 1,000 of them, and we're going to go for another run of about another, you know, 5,000 to 10,000. It's expensive, and it's hard to do just out of pocket and, you know, for the love of it, but it needs to be done, you know, and
educating consumers, so.
Exactly, and just give people a walk away, something they can hold on to.
Definitely. Well, mine got swiped, so if you want to send me another one, I'd be very grateful.
Yeah.
I was showing it to some people, and I never got it back. But aside from that, where is this tour taking you next?
We are in Atlanta right now, staging for the Atlanta event, which is going to be April 18th at the W Atlanta Hotel. We have a killer lineup of chefs. I mean, we're representing Charleston, Memphis, Atlanta, and have some of the... this is a hot ticket for Atlanta.
Yeah, where can people go to purchase this ticket?
You can go to Cochon555.com.
Okay, Cochon555.com for tickets.
Awesome.
Good deal. And then there's something I was reading about Aspen.
Yeah, so basically we have Atlanta, and then we go to the Midwest. So basically Atlanta's a Southeast regional, then we go to a Midwest regional, and we're working with, like, Lydia's out of KC. We have people in Des Moines. We have people in, great, you know, in Eastern Iowa, and that's the Midwest regional.
Nice.
And then we do the West Coast. Oh, I'm sorry, then we do D.C., and then we have the West Coast, which is Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco. Each one of the cities out of our 10-city tour announced one winner, and then all of the winners are invited to go to Aspen during Food and Wine's Classic. And Food and Wine has the classic that takes place in Aspen in June. And we do the event called Grand Cochon, which will eventually announce a king of pork. So all the winners from all the cities with all their best dishes show up in Aspen for a one-day event.
Certainly something to aspire to. That's great.
Yes, so very, very lucky to be able to do that, you know?
Definitely.
Cool. Thanks so much, Brady, for being on the show. And next time we're in New York, we got to get you down here and get you in person in the studio.
Yeah, even though your flyers were all over posted Roberta's, where we're broadcasting right now live from the backup at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, 11206. Brady, it is a pleasure to have you on with us. We'll bring you back again. Love to talk about that Grand Cochon in Aspen after that event. And good luck with this upcoming East Regional in Atlanta.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just got to say, you know, Heritage Foods has been one of our biggest promoters and supporters on tour. And without you guys, there's been it'd be a different tour. So thank you all for doing
it. Thank you.
Cool.
We appreciate it.
And thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back as always, 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. Like to thank, as always, our engineer, producer, Nat Wiener, for choosing some selections that made me smile on an 88 degree day. And
we'll be back next Wednesday live at 5.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Heritage Farm Report.
Gotta keep it so my kicks is clean. I get the cream. Cops see me flick my beans. I'm allergic to doc prescribed and a histamine. Oink, oink, pig, pig, do away with the pork. Only silverware needs a steak knife and a fork. Did you forget your fucking manners? I'm Bruce with banners. Ludacris, Johnny Rockets when I shoot the cannon. The woolly mammoth saber tooth, bitch, bite your tongue. I won't stop until I'm rich as the whites will come. I pull up in a black lotus. Your plaques are bogus, so I strip them off the wall. Waiting for my cue to corner pocket eight ball. You racking them up on big paper like pancakes, stacking them up. In fact, I'm slapping them up. Cadillac is a truck. I can't lose with 22s, bitch. That's what's up. Running in the back to fuck better than this, the aqueduct. Chilling in the middle.
Yo, 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 welcome to Atlanta where the play is play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. And parties don't stop till.